Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Welcome to it. Weekend edition is getting you kicked off right. We are on the road for Hail Varsity Radio. Home football Fridays at the Graduate Hotel here, 9th and P. And I tell you what, longest drive competition. That is awesome. Folks are already getting geared up for that. Your chance at Nebraska-Ohio State tickets. The prize box is in front of Jay Moore. Be kind to him. Bird,
what's up?
It's one of them weekends, man.
It is
Nebraska. It is Ohio State. Things are crawling in the Haymarket region. And we invite you down to the Graduate. You just got done going to College Football Live. We had Mr. Pollock and company yesterday pop by the show. That was great. Now the build-up here. We've got facilities to talk about. $350 million is the giant number, but $150 million is the football number. Greg Smith's got a recruiting hit. Brandon Vogel has flown in like Jefferson and Ridgemont, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. They just fly him in for the big games. We're loaded up. Danny Burke is going to be here. There might even be a Garth Glissman sighting.
Oh, my gosh. Who else?
Clausburn is en route, but I'm for sure he's getting searched in the state of Oklahoma right now. We usually talk to the Pride of Fairbury at 5 o'clock. He's a busy man. We are audibling here, just like Tommy used to tap the right side of his helmet at the goal line. Mm-hmm. That meant Gerald Armstrong was going to catch a touchdown pass. We say hi to Bill Dolman, who joins us now. At Bill Dolman is where you follow Wild Bill on Twitter, NBC Sports at ESPN Sports. Billy D, we had to move you up. We love you for doing it. What's the good word? Are you excited?
Efforting Bill. Chris.
Son of a gun. That build-up was flawless.
That was great.
I just
that
need
was
it.
Awesome.
I just, you know, I need a light to go off that says Bill Dolman is taking a timeout. We just talked to Bill. We just talked to him. Okay. We'll hear from Scott Frost as he was at the podium earlier with Bill Moose and the fantastic number that is going to be needed to build the mother of all football facilities. We'll get into all of that, but you know what? You have Mr. Ross partying tonight at PBA. You have the mayor and his basketball team with opening night tonight. You have college game day tomorrow morning. Junior's staying home this afternoon to make a sign.
Is he going?
He's going.
Nice.
Him and his little crusty buddies are getting up at 4 a.m. They've never gotten up at 4 a.m. in their life. But they're getting up to go to game day.
They said you got to be there by 5:30 in the morning
to get
a spot.
Yeah, I said you better be there.
Show goes on at 8?
See, we have flex-timed the weekend show tomorrow. Usually we're 7 to 9 a.m. Uh-huh. We're at 3:30 to 5:30 tomorrow in the rail yard. And so that means I get to have a cup of coffee with Bailey's in it in my living room. So Junior and Mama are going down. Some of the other folks are going to be there. We've got the Hail Varsity crew rolling in. This is fantastic. Greg Smith, recruiting guru, is here. He's saying what's up. Erin Sorensen's smiling and happy. She's only put in a 75-hour work day today. So she's just like, pour me a bourbon. I'm good. We'll hear from Bill Dolman. There's a lot to get to. I told you we fly Vogues in for the big games, but man, it's just intense. It's going to be such a great ball game tomorrow night. Nebraska fans hope, but you've got everything here. The build up, it's phenomenal, and then it's time to execute tonight.
Yeah,
I mean, for Nebraska fans, you'll show out, but the main thing is 6:30. The eyes of college football descend on Lincoln.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of lead up. There's a lot of time. There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of, you know, what ifs and could be's and what's going to happen. And, you know, once that ball's kicked in the air at 6:30, we'll it's go time. We'll see. We'll see what if Ohio State's a real deal, which I think they are. We'll see if Nebraska is up to that task. I don't know. You know, it's interesting. Ohio State really hasn't played anyone. I don't think Nebraska's really played anyone. And the fortunate thing is Nebraska's played poorly in two games, or maybe even three games, and got wins.
Yeah.
Ohio State hasn't any issues. They've beaten teams comfortably. I think their closest game so far to date maybe at Indiana. They beat them about 55-10, 56-10. So, they're the top. They're in that upper echelon. Mm-hmm. They're right there with Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia. They're right there. This team could definitely play for a national championship this year. But does Nebraska have the capability to overcome mistakes, miscues, you name it, penalties that held them back last week against Illinois to play? You don't have to play perfect, but they have to play a damn good football game. And hope Ohio State kind of trips over themselves a little bit too.
We'll get into the stage, the moment. We have found the pride of Fairbury. It is Bill Dolman with us. Billy D, I had the mother of all build-ups for you, my friend, and now we have you. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. I got bits and pieces of that, but I do agree the Idaho-Northern Colorado game tomorrow that I'm working is a big deal. Idaho coming off the win over Eastern Washington. Let's face it, Northern Colorado needs a win for Ernest Collins and Joe Glenn's old school. So really looking forward to the matchup tomorrow in Greeley.
You know, Greeley's a nice town. Idaho, I want to visit someday. And maybe sooner rather than later. All that said, Nebraska, Ohio State also has...
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Attention.
I forgot. There's another game going on tomorrow.
Yeah, there's only $6,000 in change by Archie, the woolly mammoth right now for College Football Live and game day tomorrow morning. Bill, you're a guy who's pretty realistic about Nebraska. You're also a guy that knows and has seen a lot of football where Nebraska may not be the best team, but they rise to the occasion. How are you handicapping tomorrow night? I don't need the score prediction yet, but give me a thought or two on how Nebraska handles this and the other side of it here. What kind of wows you about Ohio State?
Well, if there's ever a game for Scott Frost and this Nebraska team to play the Nebraska way, I think this is it. And I think that's with a controlled excitement, perhaps a controlled aggression. But if you put way too much into this one, you lose to Marv Seiler at Iowa State, the next week. And you go back to that game, Colorado, 1992, we beat them, 52-7. And that was a two eighth-ranked teams. And things don't go well. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, I got you. Keep rolling, brother.
Okay. You have those, the Oklahoma game in 1960. To Missouri. The Nebraska way is, dare I say, take it one game at a time. But that's the way this really kind of has to be. And this is one where Scott Frost's personality, derived from, his parents, but certainly derived from Tom Osborne, this has to be a game that is, done the Nebraska way. And that you don't want to get too high. You go your way. And you play four quarters and not one quarter at a time. It's got to be some type of a four-chapter game that has a happy ending. And I don't think that there's any reason why, I'm really kind of surprised at how, this game has developed into such a huge, huge deal. I know it's a big game, but it just seems like this is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Nebraska when we've had many games like this over the course of our lifetime. So this is where Scott Frost's personality has to, I think, carry the day and lead the way. And if Nebraska plays with controlled excitement, aggression, and using that crowd in a positive way, I don't see why this is being blown way out of proportion.
Bill, I look at it like this, and I want to see where Nebraska's at. We talked about it yesterday, and Jay, you've experienced this as well, where you do really got to breathe right and focus on each Saturday, not the four that are circled and the four that had the highest price scalper numbers next to the you know, a pair of seats. You know, Nebraska, listen, Colorado was kind of your first test, and you just didn't pass it. You were right there. Now you have another one with Ohio State, who is just freaking loaded. They are exceptional. We don't know how battle-tested they are, but they're really, really good with really, really talented guys and deep talent. And probably a little bit better defense, more focus. You still have Wisconsin on the horizon. You still have Iowa. You still have games against Minnesota and Northwestern and Purdue. I mean, so you still have plenty of ways to show progress if it doesn't go your way tomorrow night. And I think Coach Frost has been a great leader this week with not necessarily beating his chest on the underdog thing, but just knowing that, hey, it's an opportunity, and that's how we're going to approach it. Let's give it our best shot. It's not end-all, be-all if they don't get it handled tomorrow night.
Well, and I hope that's the way Nebraska fans look at it. I kind of – this game reminds me more, and I don't didn't go our way, but the year that Texas came in and, you know, they had – I think they had Colt McCoy at the time, and you know, we had Jamal Lord as the quarterback, and it was a Frank Solich team. Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah, Texas was better that year. There's no question that was a better football team. But Nebraska, you know, with the atmosphere, it was at night, the crowd was into it. But I don't think we looked at it as though, you know, we were some FCS school hosting. I think we looked at it as, look, this is a really big game. They're better than we are right now. But if we play, you know, great football, then let the chips fall where they may. But this is being built up as like, you know, I go back a couple of years ago when Wyoming hosted Nebraska in Laramie. I was like, oh, my God, look, Nebraska actually, you know, made a trip out here. This is a conference game. These are two Big Ten teams, and I think that this is the buildup has just really surprised me as to, you know, how people are viewing Nebraska in this game in Ohio State. I know they're good, but are we Nebraska? I think we're losing we've kind of lost our identity just a little bit. I think it's a pretty big game for Ohio State too. You know, they're still 18 to 22 years of age. You know, and I know they play in front of 100,000 people. But, you know, this is in Lincoln. It's going to be really cool there. And I hope Nebraska plays great football. I hope they play like they did that first half against Colorado. That was a great football game. Or the last quarter at Illinois last week. They played extremely well coming back and putting it together and putting them away. Have they put together four solid quarters this year? Absolutely not. But why not now? And if Nebraska plays four great quarters of football, and it's a compelling game, and should we – not come out on top, as was the case with that Texas game back in 2002. You know what? That's what's special about Nebraska football. People can accept a great effort, four quarters, great game. Doggone it, we lost it, but we represented well. And I think that possibility exists for tomorrow. But I also think the possibility exists that everything comes together and Nebraska wins. And if Nebraska wins, I don't think it's just monumental tear down the goalposts kind of game. It's all right, let's move on. See what we can do? Now let's go do it again.
Bill, a thought here before we say goodbye, and thanks for jumping in with us. What do you remember? You got about 90 seconds about game day, the early years, specifically that 94 Colorado game, and I need a prediction.
I want to be honest with you. I have not seen a full episode and perhaps more than 10 minutes of game day in the last 12 to 15 years. Uh-huh. And I kid you not, but I will probably watch whatever I can of tomorrow just because it's back in Lincoln and I'm proud that, you know, Nebraska is going to be represented and show so well. But I think that show is so overblown and I think they overhyped themselves. I hope Gabrielle Union does a wonderful job. I think it's a beautiful gesture with the Gaylord jersey and God bless her for that. I think it's going to be a wonderful day, a wonderful exhibition for Nebraska to be front and center on national television once again, but I have not seen that show in probably 12 to 15 years. Prediction tomorrow, Nebraska wins 9-6.
9-6? You and everybody in the world says take the overs. This thing's going to be a shootout, and Bill Dolman says 9-6. Nebraska can make three field goals.
No, that's a touchdown and a safety.
Ah, I gotcha. I gotcha.
But I'd say 9-6 take the overs.
9-6 take the overs. There he is, the pride of Fairbury. NBC Sports, Bill Dolman. Bill, have a good call tomorrow, brother. Thanks for jumping on with us.
It will not be an upset if Nebraska wins tomorrow.
There we have it. God love you. The voice of reason, pride of Fairbury. Billy D, be good, man. Thank you.
See you guys. Go Big Red.
There he is, Bill Dolman with us. Hail Varsity Radio. Greg Smith, Brandon Vogel coming up. Folks will start crowding in here for the longest drive competition. That gets teed up at 5. Get down here. If you don't have Nebraska-Ohio State tickets, it's okay. We'll draw for a pair here at 6. Food and drink specials. I've got a cornhead for somebody. And if you dig the cornhead, good for you. We can hand that off to you. A reminder to buckle up. Something's got to stop that motion. Airbags aren't enough all the time. Seatbelts prevent excessive injury, whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Hail Varsity, live at the Graduate Dill 6 continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you. We're here at the Graduate Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, Aaron Sorensen's down here, Greg Smith to talk some Cruton. We have folks waiting to get ready to swing away here at the longest drive competition. We'll get that kicked off teed up at 5 o'clock. And your chance till 6 to get signed up for Nebraska-Ohio State tickets. It's a big game. It's a big moment. Brandon Vogel is here to share in it from HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, can you swing the sticks?
No.
No?
Never.
That's
tried,
a quick answer.
That was the answer. No, I never really did. My dad didn't golf. Like, I did a little bit, like, when I was a freshman in high school, and then my football coach made me go off track instead. So that was the end of my golf career.
Sad story.
You're kind of close out there in the Panhandle. Those some pretty good golf courses, though.
I know. I feel bad that, like, I've just never picked it up. And now I'm, like, I'm too old to put myself through that frustration of having to learn scratch.
Beer helps.
Okay. You might have just talked me into it.
The folks are like, twist the arm. Brandon, you've been down to the facilities announcement with Bill Moose. You've been down to see the game day folks. And give me a thought here, man. Let's first start with the facilities. And Jay Bird, Jay Moore here, I want you to chime in on this too, because you were really kind of one of the first classes to be able to experience the facelift, so to speak.
The North Stadium, yeah.
Yeah, the North Stadium. But, Vogues, what's your takeaway with Moose and Frost and the investment here, $150-plus million, and the architecture renderings would make Art Vandelay smile?
Yeah, I think, you know, by the time they get done with all of it, it'll probably end up being about a $300 million project. It was time for Nebraska, you know, which feels a little bit insane to say. You know, Nebraska doesn't lack for anything, but it's just everybody has upgraded since then. So you kind of look at it and you're like, okay, well, it's always going to be this kind of – you're on the treadmill and some people pull ahead. And Nebraska, it's just updated least recently. So I think it's a good thing for Nebraska. It'll make them more competitive on that front. And we know recruiting's like – it's a big part of any program. There's also kind of a unique challenge with what Nebraska has to do on that front. So I think it'll help in those fronts.
Well, the crazy thing is my senior year was the North Stadium expansion. Everyone's like, they got to upgrade. I'm like, whoa. Yeah. Like, 06, you know, 05, we got into the Hawks. In 06, we got to get into the North Stadium. And it's like, talk about feeling old all of a sudden. Like, we got to upgrade. I'm like, geez. But, I mean, it is 13 years ago. But, I mean, they still got great facilities, in my opinion. But, you know, when – it's like when everyone else gets new golf clubs, and all of a sudden you feel like you got to get some new golf clubs too. You know, it's. I guess it's time. And if they got the money to do it, then let's do it.
I think the big thing will be having some more room in the weight room. You know,
got to do it. You've been doing four different shifts, yep, right? With strength and conditioning.
Yep.
I mean, that's nuts. And guys have been good about making time and making it a priority. But if you're Zach Duvall, I mean, you're working your butt off.
Yeah, it's been tough on that front, so this will help address that.
I mean, the interesting thing is, I was having lunch with Jason Peter earlier, and we kind of were talking about the facilities.
Who, like, who bought?
Well, neither. We both paid for our own check.
Okay, yeah, I'm just making sure.
That's the way we handle it, you know, like gentlemen. but with that being in the northeast part of the stadium now, and it's like, okay, are they going to change kind of how the team comes out from, you know, to come out in that corner of their sideline? Are they going to, you know, walk, take them still to that northwest side? You know, things like that. Just the, yeah. It's going to be cool, though. You know, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be interesting to see how, you know, tearing everything up over there in the process, you know. Yeah, it's going to slow some things around campus, but it's been much needed.
You know, the renderings are incredible, where Nebraska is not just going to have one outdoor field. They will have three. And I think of the development. I think of the old four-station practice that Coach Osborne had. And I don't know that they go four-station, but you got three different groups always doing something, mm-hmm. getting reps. Mm-hmm. That's invaluable. Jay, a thought from your end. And you work with a lot of kids, and specifically high school coaches, and you know them, you know, around the state. And Nebraska will get back to the point where in-state kids walk on or scholarship want to come to Lincoln. But it's the Wandale Robinsons of the world that are, you saw, help take over a game last Saturday night, that you need to keep impressing. And any winning helps. Nebraska is going to try and get back to that point in some form or fashion. And Saturday night's a great showcase for that. But facilities and bells and whistles. I mean, you had Husker fans are rolling in, ready for the longest drive. They're fired up. And go ahead and get signed up for the Ohio State-Nebraska seats right there.
Yeah, somehow I'm on your list.
Okay, yeah, you're on the list. Have a seat. It'll be awesome. Yeah. Yeah, go for it. That'd be awesome. So with Nebraska and their ability to showcase and have Nebraska's still got a BMW.
Yeah.
It's just is it a 2019 model, or is it the sweet 04 look? Is it the vintage? And right now you got to say, okay, our neighbor, for the love of God, Illinois has got something nice, new, and shiny. Northwestern has the best real estate in northwest mm-hmm. Chicago right now on the beach, and you haven't been exactly drilling those programs.
Yeah.
So it's time to go fishing a little bit. What do we order, Vogues?
I don't remember the name of it. It's bourbon something.
Okay, so if like there's a birthday candle floating in it after a sip and you blew the candle out, it'd be the old Revenge of the Nerds fireball.
Yes.
There's
yes.
no curtains here in the graduate, though, which is good. There's just clear-looking windows. Nebraska had to upgrade. Moose dropped enough hints that they need to do it. They were eighth or ninth in his estimation. Scott Frost needs room for guys to sit in a meeting room. And then when it comes to the student-athlete pavilion, that's going to be huge with the training table. Jay, kind of lay out the training table. I imagine it's phenomenal food, and it's a chance to sit down and break bread with people. But for all 600 student-athletes to be able to convene in one spot, they're doing it now, but this will be really, really special.
Yeah, well, I mean, what they have now is completely different than what, you know, I had 12, 13 years ago over the Hewitt Center in the West Stadium. I mean, they revamped it, expanded it, made it a lot bigger. It used to be, you'd get tight. It would get really tight in there. And it would get really tight, especially when lunch was open to everyone on campus. You know, any student could come there and have lunch.
My little ID card.
Right, exactly. So, no, it's going to be great. It's you know what, if you're going to do it, just do it all. You know, do it at one time, get it in and get it taken care of. So it's going to be a phenomenal facility.
Vogues, let's get to the game. Jay, jump in here on the game as well. We'll have more thoughts on Nebraska, Ohio State next hour. But give me three keys here, Vogues. What are you watching? What are you interested in?
I think Nebraska, we talked last week about sort of big plays and not being overly reliant on them. I think this is one where you need Nebraska's kind of three playmakers, well, four when you include the quarterback, but JD, Maurice, Wandale, you need some of those out of these guys, because against a lot of teams, I think Nebraska's efficient enough to drive it consistently, but against a defense this good, you know,
you got to pop them.
You got to. You've got to get some of those shots. The beginning to this game will be really, really interesting. Like, Nebraska, turnovers are always huge, but, like, you can't get one of those early again in this one, I don't think, and kind of let that Ohio State ball get rolling. And then the other one is how good is Justin Fields going to be tomorrow? Like, he looks really, really good. Mm-hmm. He hasn't thrown an interception. He is still a first-year starter, first, like, big kind of road environment, and still a first-year head coach. So, well, you know, that's not a huge concern for me. I think it's something you just at least have to mention to say, like, well, we don't know for sure. Like, we think he's, like, the moment's not going to be too big for him, but let's see first. So those are kind of three I got my eye on.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'd said it to that bigger app, but I said defense got to limit Ohio State's explosive plays. I mean, they are high-powered. You know, Dobbins, Fields, tight ends, wide receiver. They can do it all. You got to limit. They're going to get some. You just got to limit them. And they're going to be able to move the ball in between the 20s. But then when they get into the red zone area, holding the three. This is the type of game where the defense wins if you can hold them to 3 points. Offensively, same thing that Vogue said. It's try to get some explosive plays, but take care of the football first and foremost. You can't turn it over and get down 14 zip. That game's done. We're done. There's no chance. Like I said, you don't have to play perfect. You got to play pretty damn clean. You're going to have some penalties. You're going to have some mistakes made, but you got to take care of the football. And we know how bad special teams the kicking game is right now for this team. Points are a premium type of game, so hopefully you can get some. But also, in turn, flip the field. You know, flip them, make them, you know, go, you know, 70, 80 yards, 90 yards, hopefully. And then defense kind of holds up and gets some turnovers on their own.
Jay Moore, Brandon Vogel, Chris Schmidt down here at the Graduate, Hail Varsity Radio here till 6, your chance. Longest drive competition gets rolling at 5. So if you're off work and you've qualified, you're welcome to roll down here. Find a spot. It is awesome inside here, the Graduate. The Topgolf simulators are just awesome. They're incredible. And enjoy that. Great food and drink specials down here. It's just an amazing atmosphere. And you got a lot going on, so swing on by, get your name in the hopper. We'll draw here at 6 for Nebraska, Ohio State seats, and plenty of thoughts here on what's going to happen tonight with just the atmosphere. You know, it's hard for me to say that it's basketball season. Oh my dear Lord, Cousin Dino is back. Last time he was in wearing red and white. Second half of Boulder happened, but we're not going to blame anybody. Pretty good. So with Nebraska, and let's talk Adrian Martinez real quick, Vogues. Adrian does what tomorrow? And is he going to be too amped, too geeked? Got about 90 seconds here. Or is he a guy that is going to be able to settle in? I don't worry about his ability or his confidence, but the do too much aspect of this is where I'm watching.
Yeah, I expect him to play pretty well. I think it's going to be we saw how often Illinois was kind of in the Huskers' backfield last week. Ohio State's right behind them in terms of tackles mm-hmm. for loss in the country this year. So it's not going to be easy on that front. But in some ways, I think with how these first four games have gone for him, you know, it's been mostly good, probably better than he's gotten credit for. But there have been those kind of moments that seem a little un-Adrian-like against a big opponent where the stakes are so clear. Like, I kind of expect him to rise to the moment. And if Nebraska can get better quarterback play than Ohio State does, that's one of the ways they stay in this and hang around.
I think so. And that's a great matchup. I mean, your two best quarterbacks right now, the way they're playing, Adrian and Fields, and it's not even fair. And as good as Nebraska looks on paper and as much progress as they have made, Ohio State's skill guys are nuts. Vogues, we'll wrangle you tomorrow for the weekend edition. Thanks for coming by. Appreciate you. Graduate is where we're at till 6. Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt. Hail Varsity continues. Greg Smith is in the on-deck circle.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back here at the Graduate, it's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery ahead of Ohio State, Nebraska. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore. Brandon Vogel is here having a little bourbon. God love him. Aaron Sorensen is smiling. Greg Smith is like, Schmidt, you pulled me away for something cold and frosty to talk some recruiting. We are going to do a recruiting hit. Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, and co-host of Big Red Wrap-Up is riding shotgun. The longest drive competition. Did you qualify? Did you sign up online? ESPNLincoln.com. The answer is yes. Well, yeah, you have till 5 to get down here. And if you're a little bit tardy, we're not going to slap your wrist. It's okay. We won't even throw a flag on that one. So get on down here. Your chance to qualify and win some prizes. I still have a corn head. I need to get off my table. And you can sign up for Nebraska-Ohio State tickets. We will give those away at 6. Do you want to go? Are you doing game day? Are you doing Mr. Ross tonight? Are you doing PBA? Did you go check out ESPN College Football Live? If yes is all of it, but you need a seat inside Memorial Stadium, we can help you with that. Greg Smith is here, recruiting analyst, HailVarsity.com and magazine, at Greg Smith. Mr. Greg, give us the update. It's like Santa's list here of who's coming to town.
Yeah, I think I counted it up. I have the full list, and I think it's 64 total visitors.
64?
Holy smokes.
There'll be 11 official visitors here as well. Two that are committed to Nebraska, Logan Smothers, the quarterback, Turner Corcoran, the offensive tackle, and then a host of different targets that Nebraska is really after, probably headlined most realistically by four-star outside linebacker Caden Johnson out of Minnesota.
He's big time.
He's a really good player, and he came up here, if you remember, over the spring with Tyrone Carter and that group. They brought a big group of players, prospects, up to Lincoln's practice, or Nebraska's practice, and he's going to come back and check things out with his family. Another inside linebacker, the top inside linebacker in the state of Alabama, who's also committed to Alabama, Jackson Bratton. And I don't know if you guys have gotten a chance to see him on film at all. He looks, if you put his film on, he looks like a guy that is going to Alabama at the moment, right? I think he's personally the best inside linebacker that I've watched on film since I've been doing this. He is also happens to be really, really good friends with our quarterback commit, Logan Smothers. They attend the same high school. So that was kind of the foot in the door there. But he does have legitimate interest in Nebraska. Kind of the top things that he's looking at is the relationship with Barrett Rood. We know that Barrett Rood connects well with guys, and the ability to potentially be coached by him, and how early he could be able to play here at Nebraska versus what the situation is at Alabama. So we'll see where that goes. It's going to be tough to flip him, but those are a couple of the highlights on the list, but there are plenty more.
So if we're giving some objections to Alabama, and it's all within good taste, it's not Les Miles writing scathing letters about Nebraska in the mid-80s. Are you just saying, look, Nick may not be there? Look, Nick's got 7 other dudes just like you there. We don't have one. And Big Ten football also can get you to the NFL. Am I selling okay?
I think you are, but I think you're also selling the fact that, hey, your position coach that's there now may not be there when you get there even, because they've had a lot of turnover.
There's rental not owning
definitely
when it comes
to that. And also, I think there's always the – If it can be a pitch to a guy of come be on the ground floor of us starting the next big thing versus already joining it. And some guys that appeals to as well. So there's a couple of different ways to get in. It's just always a little difficult when it's that program that you're trying to sell against.
Greg, a thought here on the facilities, the upgrade, the focus, and the investment for Nebraska to expand. They've got a BMW or Mercedes right now in the driveway, but they're getting a new Mercedes or BMW in the driveway by 2022. What does that mean to kids? Because you talk to kids all the time. You talk to kids that like Oregon, that love UCLA, that love Austin. They want to go to play for Florida, but they love Scott Frost, right? I mean, they get it, but facilities are difference-making, and it's also difference-making when it comes to development, the kit.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's something for the kids. They see it as the glitz and the glamour of the program, and kind of it's the front door, and sometimes the first impression that you really are making with the program is that you can send them, hey, this is what our facilities look like, because these are the types of investments that we make in your time here as a student athlete. And I will say that Nebraska's facilities, when they come up in my conversations with recruits now, they do not like talk bad about them at this point either. Every kid comes away from here saying how impressed they are with the facilities here. Now, there are things that that are probably a little bit better at other schools, whether it's Iowa's weight room or kind of some of the bells and whistles at Oregon or Clemson or something like that. And Nebraska will catch them with that. But it's a huge, huge recruiting tool. They've already started using this as a recruiting tool. I talked to Ryan Held actually after this happened, after they made the announcement today. I caught him on the side, and he told me he was going back up to his office. He was going to put some music on, and he was going to send that video that they played to about 200 mm-hmm. recruits. And then he went and did that and put it on social media. So they're already using it as a recruiting tool.
What was Held going to fire up? Is he doing a little Molly Hatchet? Is he going to the little here I go again? You know, like right. The old end scene of old school.
I should have asked right. him what
driving
he was going to play.
The
I'd be
T-tops.
Fascinated to know. I bet it's like hair band.
It
like,
is. It's 80s hair band. It's 80s hair band, and you know, meanwhile, Super Mario's got the unlit cigar in his office, and he's rocking Dark Side of the Moon.
Definitely.
So you mentioned the linebacker that's come out of town. You mentioned Logan in-state. You were at the Southeast game last night. I was at the Southeast game last night. And where are you at with local product who's just phenomenal, Isaac Gifford?
Yeah, Isaac's a really good player, and he's a guy I came away impressed with him last night, not just on defense where he's always solid and he was around the football making plays, but his versatility to flip over and play some offense for that team.
Big time.
When Helene needed a break on at running back.
Helene had 33 carries.
Yeah,
that's
he needed a break at
night.
Some point. So when he just to come in as a change of pace but also catch some swing passes, that just showed me his overall athleticism. I think he's a really talented player. He'll be back here again tomorrow. I think if there's going to be another guy in state that gets an offer from Nebraska, I think it's Isaac Gifford. It's just whether or not we're going to have to see how things kind of shake out through the rest of the cycle before we know for sure.
Any kids from Omaha North stick out to you?
Just the guy who had the pick six, and now his name just escaped me, Travion.
We will not only get you the name, we'll get you the roster number here. For Omaha North, and it was
him and Siegel were the two
Marquise
guys.
Siegel had
guys
the pick.
That came, that really stuck out to me. Really athletic kids, fast in space. Their running back was pretty good as well. It was just tough, man. That Southeast
just the defense
line is really, really talented. They're good at linebacker, and they're good in the back end, led by Gifford as well. I wrote in my recap on that one that I think as the weather gets colder, Lincoln Southeast is going to be even tougher to beat because they're just a really physical football team that really wants to get after you and be able to play in the trenches and win games in the trenches.
Greg Smith is with us, Hail Varsity Radio recruiting analyst, and be sure to log on HailVarsity.com all weekend long for your recruiting hits from Greg Smith. And of course, follow Greg on Twitter at GregSmithHV is where you're going to follow him. Greg, awesome work all week. Great stuff on the facilities today, my man.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate you. We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues. We're here at the Graduate Ohio State Nebraska. Tickets can be yours. Longest drive competition is underway. Still chances for you to get rocked up and swing it, tee it up and let it fly. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. My God, it's Garth Glissman.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Are we back? Colton, nod twice if we are back. We are back. Okay, so making the rounds. Garth, Mr. Waverly's back.
He is back.
That's pretty good, man. I'm anxious.
NBA.
Yeah, the executive director of the NBA is back. Now, break this for me. You're all firethorned up right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. Okay. I already know where you're going.
The rumor.
Yeah.
The rumor.
Yeah.
So the rumor is you, Chuck Barkley, Dwayne Wade.
Yep.
And
LeBron.
LeBron. And all played at Firethorn this morning.
Right, yeah.
And you took money from all of them.
I did, yeah.
Because you rolled up in an Escalade.
Yeah, I did. I took all their money, and it was real.
How no, was it?
It was great.
Did you critique Chuck's swing?
I didn't watch.
Oh, you just put your hands over your head? Your eyes over your hands
said,
over your eyes?
I just said, let me know where it went. I'll go find it for you.
Okay. Well, and, you know, I've actually gotten to play there once. I did.
No, I thought you were, like, hinting at, like, hey, invite me out there.
No, no, I've gotten to play. No, I mean, I wouldn't play with me. Hold on a minute. So what's LeBron and Wade's game like compared to yours?
They're okay.
We're going to keep growing this BS, okay?
Yeah, yeah. No, they're pretty good, you know. They both got good hands, obviously good athletes, so.
How's their temperament? Because you need a fair
good.
Temperament to survive out there.
No, they're good. They held together. I told them it was a pretty tough course, so they understood that. And you know, they sprayed a few, but we found them, and they got it around. You know, they got around okay. We played in about 4.5 hours, you know, grabbed lunch afterwards, and it was all good to go. You know, now, you know. Just head down to PBA to catch Rick Ross concert, you know.
I think Rick's around the area because Abdel Massey was kind of kicking it down here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I should be probably staying in this hotel.
He might. I don't know. I mean, is he golfing with you tomorrow morning after the show?
He is not.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. So we're making this up. There was no golf with Wade. There was no golf with Chuck. There was no golf with LeBron.
No.
It's media day for the Lakers today.
Right. There was, I bet you I got, I don't know, 4 or 5 texts asking if LeBron and Wade were playing out there. They actually, I can say people from the athletic department called to inquire for D. Wade to play out there.
Okay.
But it just
play with you?
No. Just to play golf out there. It just didn't work. Like, he's pressed for time. His son's here for a recruiting visit. You know, so like
they'll be here tonight.
Right.
It was beautiful. There was rain.
No, it was rain.
But there was room. There was time for 9, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. No, and that's the thing is, so at Firethorn, they have shotgun starts for game days.
Mm-hmm.
And they start at 9 just so they can get a lot of people on the golf course and they can obviously get the tailgates to go play. So, like, they were saying he'd have to play at, like, at 7 o'clock in the morning to kind of get ahead of everyone. But
gotcha.
No, definitely there was no LeBron or D-Wade sighting today. I can confirm.
There's from the man on the green a lot, Jay Moore. Quick timeout, hour 2 coming up from the graduate. Longest drive is underway. Your chance at Nebraska-Ohio tickets. Get down here at the graduate, 9th and P with Hail Varsity.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back to you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We are here at the Graduate. We have a crowd of folks that are teeing it high and letting it fly. That's copyrighted by Greg Austin. And the longest drive competition is awesome. And folks are here. The Top Golf Simulator Suites are full up. Folks are having, I don't see any bloodies, buddy, but there are lots of beer, buckets of beer, martinis, nachos. Folks are kicking it in the tiki bar. What's really cool about the graduate here, and Troy does such an awesome job here, 9th and P, Hail Varsity on the road every home football Friday here from 4 to 6 down at the graduate, is the garage doors are down because it's been a little wet today. It's not bad now, but they've got the garage doors you kind of see in the Haymarket and Rail Yard region, where they can go up, so it's almost like it's convertible. We got college football live, and the Bears on screen right now with the 6 o'clock Sports Center Eastern time. So that's good. They're talking Nebraska. But we can't send you to Pebble Beach, literally, but you can swing away like you're at Pebble Beach. Jay Moore is here. Chris Schmidt, thanks so much for spending your Friday with us on Hail Varsity. Jeremiah Searles, just my opinion. His show on Twitch is a lot of fun. He does an awesome job with it. Searles is going to join us on the phone at 5:25. He and Tommy Armstrong are down in the Rail Yard at 6:30 tonight for your Rail Yard party, so be thinking about that. Still time for you to get down here. Swing away with the longest drive competition. We'll do this again next week for Northwestern, and we'll do this for Iowa, and we'll do this for Wisconsin, but it is Ohio State week. And, Jay, lots to get into. But first, before we do that, Kirk Herbstreit, he's a Buckeye. He's part of game day. And Kirk Herbstreit spent some time earlier today talking to us about just what it is to be back in Lincoln, what he loves about the Big Red.
I love this stadium. I love the size of it. I love what they've done. I love the fans here and how passionate they are and how much they love their team through thick or thin. So it's just one of the great places in the country.
It is. Jay, you experienced that 4 years. You started three. You know it. You've been here. You've been on both sides of this. You've been Nebraska going in, ranked to a hostile environment. You've been the team that is going to make somebody's season and be a launching point. You've been that opportunity. You've also been on the other side of it where, all right, it's time to punch somebody in the jaw here. I about slipped. I said jaw. and kind of announce that you've just been asleep for a while. What's that like? I'm going Paul McCartney interview here. Wasn't that really cool with Farley?
Right.
didn't mean to be creepy as you move away in the chair. But I'm serious. I mean, you know it, man.
Right. I can kind of go back to, well, God, who was it? Someone on Twitter pointed that Nebraska has been, you know, double point underdogs and won, you know, twice in the last, so many years, but
well, you,
there
you,
were
both
of them.
Both your teams.
My 05, my junior year, we were, I think we were 17 point underdogs at Colorado, beat them 30-3. I think we were 10, 11, 12 point underdogs.
Beat Michigan.
And beat Michigan in Alamo Bowl. So I can speak from this to this type of game as a player. And this is just me in general. I can probably speak for all my teammates too. We didn't know what the point spread was. We didn't know. We watched film.
Really?
No, had no idea. I mean, we knew that. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you go to Colorado.
To go beat Colorado.
Right. You go to Colorado.
That's a North champion.
You go to Colorado, and they already sealed the North. But like, we never like. I never thought we'd have a chance. Like, you go play. You go play and execute, and you do the things that you do that you worked on the previous 2 months, 3 months, and you work on the stuff you did for the game plan. We go to Michigan. You watch them like, oh, these guys are pretty damn good. You know, you got first rounders everywhere. I mean, they had Jake Long as a, you know, who was a first round draft pick.
Did they have Braylon?
No, they didn't have Braylon. They had I'm not that old.
Wow.
But
you're the same era. Right. You're not old, neither is Braylon.
Right.
My point is, it's that era.
God, they had a really good punt returner, kick returner. He was a wide receiver. But no, I mean they had Hart,
that's
running
Michigan.
Back. They had a bunch.
Who was a quarterback?
Chad Henne.
Yeah, Henne was good.
Yeah. I mean, played a lot.
I didn't say what was Elvis like. I mean, right. I wasn't Gerback era.
Well, I thought like Braylon Edwards was like 0-2.
Okay,
that's not that far away though. It's only 3 years. Just like to bust your chops a little bit.
That's good.
Anyways, so
we're doing the drawing at 6.
Yeah, we won those games, and we didn't. The coaches, you know, weren't saying, "Hey, you got to play perfect." You just go out your business. You go and you work and you go out and do your best, and you try to execute the game plan to the fullest. I never knew once we were underdog. I never knew the point spread of any game we played in. The coaches made us feel like that we were going to win the game, that we were a better team, that we had the necessary tools and had the players and had everyone to beat whoever we played. And you got to do that. You got to give your players confidence. You got to tell them, you know. And sometimes you got to give them a kick in the ass, but sometimes you got to tell them you're pretty good. You know, you can beat this team, you know. And that's what we just went up and did. I mean, we were 7-5 regular season, wound up being 8-5, you know, and we had a pretty good team, you know, my senior year, but these type of games, you just go in. You don't listen to the outside noise. And back then, much easier to not listen because there wasn't the social media and there wasn't.
There's nothing but outside noise.
Right, right. No, and it is, and it's so easy to have access to it. I mean, with the phones and everything like that, you can see what everyone's saying. It's just so easy to have that, and to see talking about
why you shouldn't win and why, you know, and why you can't do things and, you know, how bad you're going to get beat. And you can use that as motivation or let that stuff kind of drag you down. I hope they're not paying attention to it, but they're just focused and, you know, 100% focused on executing the game plan. Because that's what you got to do in this game. You can't listen to the noise. Is Ohio State a better team? Absolutely. They're a better football team, but it's just one day. It's one game. You never know. You don't know how it's going to happen. You know, Nebraska hasn't played their best football at all. That's the biggest thing.
I want to focus on that point. It's not that Nebraska can't do it, but will they? Will they put four quarters together? That's the question. Will they put four quarters together?
Right. My biggest thing is, you know, looking at this team and even last year and maybe throw out the Michigan game from last year, Nebraska plays to its competition.
They do. And they have,
whether it's
they
bad have, competition or good
years.
Competition,
they have for
they
years.
Play to it. Other than I threw out, you know, the Michigan game from last year, that's kind of an anomaly. That was a bad situation.
That was, dear God, right. Let's wear some Depends.
Right. I mean, you had it hurt Adrian, and it's just, yeah, they just weren't ready. I mean, in Michigan was, I mean, obviously they were way better last year than what they look like this year so far. But, you know, they should come out and compete for four quarters. The only reason they don't is they start, you know, how they start against Illinois. And I don't foresee that happening. I hope to God it doesn't happen, but they got to play really good.
Why did Illinois happen? To me, I look at that and it's an immature team with thinking, because dude, they practice well Monday through Thursday. I believe that. You've seen practices. Scott and his crew don't joke around Monday through mm-hmm. Thursday, and it's not like the play calling or the defensive setup was off. It was mental and physical mistakes.
I mean, yeah, I mean, 100%. You look at the first touchdown run. The first touchdown run by Illinois, or, you know, the third or fourth.
JoJo didn't do his job, and said as much.
No, I mean, that wasn't even JoJo on that one. The first touchdown run that by Corbin, yeah. You know, that was Markell's dispute coming unblocked. He misses the tackle, and it's a bad job by Mo Berry not recognizing, have his eyes in the bad. You know, he should have been, all gaps were taken care of. Mo Berry should have been right there to make it for a 5-yard gain. Then you have Lamar and Cam Taylor that's missed the tackles. Cam misses the tackle. Lamar doesn't even – I don't know what he was looking at.
Cam was engaged, but Lamar tackled.
Right, but anyways, offensively, you're going to – turnovers happen. They had three of them in just the worst spots where you're in your own –
You're
in your own territory
deep.
Not
even in your own 50.
You know, those are three bad. I mean, you'd like to say defense, you know, holding the 3 points, but heck, twice they got the ball inside their own, like, 10-yard line. So that's really tough to do. But they overcame them. But here's the thing is, that was a team. Illinois came out playing fast and physical. That was a team that looked like they just lost to an Eastern Michigan.
So they were pissed.
And they're pissed and got their tails chewed and ripped all week. And coaches got after them. They got after them in practice, and it showed. And this is more of a team. Nebraska came out, we played pretty good against Northern Illinois, kind of feeling yourself a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, we played, you know, mistake-free, no turnovers, only had really one penalty. Overall, played a really good game. Probably should have beat them, you know, 63-8 instead of 44-8. You know, and, hey, yeah, we're getting better. And then it's just that mess. But, you know, they came to it and they overcame it. I mean, that's the biggest thing. That team last year or 2 or 3 years ago, they don't overcome those mistakes in Champaign. But you can take that, take that as a grain of salt and know that they can overcome some mistakes. You can't do it against a team like Ohio State, obviously, but you can do it against Illinois, you know, a Northwestern potentially, you know, those type of teams. But you can't get off to that start at all against the Buckeyes and hope to overcome that.
I think Nebraska will play confident because of last year. I think they'll play fast. I think they'll play physical. I think the energy in the crowd will make a monster difference to help them hang around. I think all that's possible. When push comes to shove, though, will Nebraska be able to execute? And it's hard to execute against that skill level.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking tackling.
Right. You're going to have missed tackles. They're going to happen. I mean, you're going to have some missed
both,
tackles.
Both ends, but there's right. going to be less missed tackles by Ohio State, right. I think, because they're just better. And Nebraska's right. got to be almost flawless. Now, Nebraska's got some guys like Wandale, like J.D., like Mo and Adrian mm-hmm. that are similar caliber of athletes, if not as good or right, have the ability right. to be as good as a Dobbins, right, or a Victor, right? So, I mean Nebraska's not going to get rocked unless it is that turnover avalanche. Mm-hmm. And I think Scott's done a great job of building them up and just kind of letting it all hang out. If a Riley team can beat Sparty, that Sparty team, mm-hmm. Nebraska certainly can get it handled tomorrow night. I just don't know if they can, voila, all of a sudden magically put it together for four quarters. Ohio State's going to have to be intimidated. How much do you buy into Ohio State in the back of their mind thinking of Purdue, thinking of Iowa? Because they stubbed their toe, mm-hmm. and they've been championship quality and caliber the last 3 years. They've stubbed their toe against teams that are 8-4, 7-5-ish, and Purdue was 6-6, 6-7 last
right,
year.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, that's got to be there. You got to learn those. Hopefully they
– kind of like Nebraska winning on the road the first time.
Right.
You got to get over the hump.
Right. But you look at those games. I mean, you want to talk about teams that have played perfect.
The leader in the clubhouse is who? 317. Sorry to interrupt
Sheesh,
you.
No, yeah. That's –
That's nuts.
That's really good. I think I saw a guy over there. He had some speed. He had some really good speed to his swing.
317.
That's nice.
The longest drive nice. Leader in the clubhouse. Cheers, my friend. Wow.
Yeah.
What's your
well
name?
Done.
Ben, good work. Good stuff, man. Good luck to you. Back to football.
Yeah, so. It's you just don't know. I mean, that's why you play. I mean, looking at those games, Iowa, you know, played a damn near perfect game. Purdue played a damn near perfect game. And Ohio State played really bad. And the biggest thing I've taken away from those last couple years is Dwayne Haskins struggled at times last year. JT Barrett. The Ohio State's passing game has struggled in when their offense, they've always been able to run it, but when they need to throw it, they just haven't been able to throw it.
They had a thrower last year, but he couldn't
right,
run.
Right.
But they have a thrower and a runner this year.
Correct. So it's just, and they got them both. I mean, Fields is phenomenal on both ends. It's just, listen, this game just can shake out so many different ways, and you just hope Nebraska can listen. They're going to get the haymakers. They're going to take some shots to the face. Can they stay on their feet?
Do you worry about them bouncing back?
If they get smoked?
I mean, if they get rocked, like third play of the game, Stanley Havili. Sorry, game day reference
right.
from 07.
Sure.
But 50-yard game.
Right. Oh, I think so. I don't – this team could have got spooked last week, getting down 28-14 and early in the third quarter. And they
so
did
their
it.
Resolve's better, their confidence
yeah,
is okay?
Absolutely. I think so. I mean, and again, it's Illinois versus Ohio State, but it's – I mean, that's comparing apples to oranges, obviously.
Prime rib versus
$2
steak.
Correct. but – I see them handling it. There's going to be some noise. I think in any game that you play, there's always some sort of, I don't want to say deciding moment, but there's a time where you just got to ignore it and just keep your focus and keep your nose down and keep your eyes forward and just go about your business. And things, you know, if you can execute, things will work out.
Jay, they are bringing more waves of Coors Light. Do I need to know something?
Bring them our way.
That's right. We're here at the Graduate 9th and P. Home Football Fridays, we invite you. And your chance at Ohio State, Nebraska tickets, get signed up. The longest drive competition is going on now. Jeremiah Searle is going to check in with us. We are waiting the arrival of our man in the desert, the Pride of Chicago is Danny Burke. He's supposed to be on side. Klausburn's trying to escape a posse in Oklahoma. We'll have our Friday forecast as Hail Varsity continues here at the Graduate 9th and P, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
All-State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. The Bear is on TV outside of each stadium. We have our own handicapper to the left. It is the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, on site. We will get a picture. He is pressed for time because he has an amazing another edition of Just My Opinion. Jeremiah Searles, Husker standout NFLer with us, Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore. And Jay, Searles, you, my man, you're in the rail yard. You got a party going on over there, and you take to the Twitch channel at 6:30. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I got a special edition of Just My Opinion going on at 6:30 tonight. Tommy Armstrong is going to come down here giving away T-shirts for free. All you got to do is follow the show. So if you want a free T-shirt, come on down and get one. But it's going to be a really fun time. The rail yard is getting packed, getting busy, a lot of red, which is a great thing to see, and it's going to be a really good time.
Now, we have, not me and Jay, it's been the patrons here, but we're out of Coors Light here. How's your supply across the way?
It looks full. It looks full. The mountains look blue. The mountains look blue, which is the most important piece, but I wouldn't count on them being full much longer once my show's over.
No, I get it. I get it. Well, that's awesome. Your quarterback's with you, Tommy, and that'll be a good show. Searles, how can folks get signed up if they've seen and heard your podcast and your show, but they've yet to listen and interact live? How do they do that?
Very simple. You download the app Twitch. It's very simple. You just download the app, create a free account. Once you've done everything to that, you search JSearles71, follow the channel, and it's really simple. You tune in Monday nights from 6 to 7 p.m., and we talk Husker football.
Talk to me about the offensive line, and give me a thought, my friend, on who's key for Nebraska tomorrow. Chase Young's a beast. You've had to block those guys in the NFL. Jay, you've come off the edge in the NFL against tackles in tough environments, so I got a great dynamic here. But, Jay, Searles, I want your thoughts on just what Nebraska does here to try and remedy the depth and the speed off the edge. It's going to be big for Adrian to hit some top plays, some big plays downfield.
Yeah, I mean, I think the two tackles tomorrow have to play great. And I mean, not good, they have to play great. And they got to make sure that they take care of Chase Young. And the way you do that is you have early success running the ball on first and second down. Jay knows as a pass rusher, you get in third and eight plus, you pin your ears back, you have no other responsibilities besides to kill the guy with the ball. So you get in the third and three, third and fours, they have to think a little bit more. And no offense, Jay, but defensive players are not as smart as offensive players. And so it usually ends better for the offensive line. But that's a fact.
Yeah.
Well, I'm spitting straight facts at you.
your rebuttal,
right,
Jay Moore.
Well, you're right. You know, I think in this situation with a guy like Chase Young, it'd be interesting to see how the tight ends play a role in this offense. You know, you don't ever see running backs chip a lot and out of their backfield. But you know, where they're going to light up Jack Stoll and Austin Allen in this type of situation, line them up close, force Chase Young maybe get a little wider. Maybe the tight ends can chip, and then they can get out in the flat, have a quick outlet for Adrian. It'd be interesting to see. You know, are they going to go quick? You know, get the ball out of Adrian's hands quick to get him a little frustrated. Are you going to try to? Are you going to trust the line to see if they can give him some time? We'll be interested to see. But I do think that the tight ends will provide a big role in slowing down Chase Young.
Jeremiah Searles, Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Danny Burke is all the way back from Musburger's camp in Vegas. He is sitting on site with us. Searles, what do you like about Adrian's game against this Ohio State defense? They've been nuts. They are great in scoring defense. They are phenomenal when it comes to like little to no big plays allowed.
I think Adrian just needs to be decisive with the football. I think that's the way you beat an aggressive defense like Ohio State. Beat them with quick decisions and not making them guess right. Because if you're holding on to the ball back there and you're trying to think where to go with the ball, they can guess right. They're athletic enough to make the plays. To where if you keep them on their heels and you keep them reacting to everything, that's when they're going to struggle. That's when they're going to be able to be like, okay, Adrian's going to be able to pick them apart a little bit more. And he's got to be decisive in the run game. He's got to get north-south in the run game. Can't get east-west and try and outrun everyone because that's when he's going to have the issue.
Searles, I need to know about Ohio State, Nebraska, Levante, Rex, your guys' comeback. Take us through it.
I mean, that game still sticks out in my mind as one of my absolute favorites. I mean, I remember going into halftime, we were getting booed by the home crowd because we just laid an egg the week before in Wisconsin. And so when we come home and we're getting it all kind of took a big collective deep breath there in the second half. We're like, guys, we're not afraid of this team. Like we're just as good as we need to be with this team,
and we just need to settle in and play our game. And I'll never forget what it was like. And it was just the coolest feeling ever to be able to come back on a team like Ohio State at home in front of your fans when you need them the most. And it was just incredible. Like, I remember it was raining. I distinctly remember my wife and I were talking about it today, just how much fun it was. And Rex being a baller. I mean, we're going to need the big-time kid players to step up in big-time moments like Rex did for us on that comeback. We need Adrian. We need J.D. Spielman. We need JoJo Doman. We need those guys to step up and play their best game today in order to give us a chance to win.
Jeremiah Searles with us, Hail Varsity Radio. He's over in the rail yard. Just My Opinion launches at 6:30. Him and Tommy Armstrong on Searles' Twitch channel. You laid it out perfectly about who needs to step up, who can step up. And a last thought, Jeremiah, before we let you get out of here, and thanks, and we'll get a hold of you tomorrow, too, for the weekend edition. The environment, what Jay's talked about it, I want your take on what the crowd can do, really what a crowd can do from a positive sense in a big game like this, what it's done for you emotionally and energy-wise that you remember. And I know we just talked to Ohio State, but you played a lot of games in front of the red and white. They're big a lot, but they're big in big games.
Yeah, I mean, crowds can make a huge difference, both on offense, on defense. I mean, when things don't go well, the crowd can pick you back up and they can keep your energy high when things are going well. And then when things are going well, you just feed off of that energy. I mean, if they get one false start tomorrow, that's a plus for our crowd. They get multiple false starts, that's a huge plus for our crowd because you can rattle a team. Not just a quarterback, you can rattle a team with the noise and with everything that you have. So I think that's what this crowd has to do. They got to rattle Ohio State. Make them feel you as a Big Red Nation. Make them walk in there and, yes, clap on their way out for the nicest fans in the world. But for that 60 minutes, let them know that they're in for a long day with Husker Nation. During that 60 minutes, I want to hear them screaming as loud as possible.
There's part of me that wants kind of a broken beer bottle, not chucked at anybody specifically, but, you know, I mean, just get a little fierce and angry. This kindness and killing with kindness thing is nice, but, you know, how many times have you gone to Boulder and almost gotten stabbed? It's a little intimidating.
It is. And I think it almost is like you hear people like the niceness throws them off. They're like, I was playing in this hostile environment. And then they come in and they're like, hey, good game. Thanks for coming. And you're just like, wait, what? Like, I've talked to many people that have said that is the weird part. Like, the weird part is how nice Husker fans are. But it's also a little of a cool thing because it's what makes us different. But I want them to be angry for 60 minutes long.
An angry red mob. I love it.
Yes.
Searles, one more time, your Twitch channel for 6:30 tonight.
Yep, twitch.tv/jsearles71. It's on all my social media bios. You can look on hailvarsity.com. They have a link to it there as well.
All right, go see Searles in the rail yard, 6:30. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Jeremiah. Thanks for popping on, man.
Absolutely. See you guys tomorrow. Go Big Red.
All right, there he is. There's Searles. Let's switch gears. What type of blackmail do you have on Brent Musburger to get out of a sports book ahead of Nebraska, Ohio State? The pride of Chicago is Danny Burke. He is on site. My man, you're not even 10. You get sun 7,000 days a year. And I'm still looking glorious and you still look fine, but
it's the Irish in me.
How the hell are you?
I'm great. I'm happy to be here with you guys. It's been a while, and I'm just excited to be here. Glad we can finally do this in person. And I was actually waiting for someone to make the first comment about me still being white. Look, I avoid the sun. It's like 110 degrees out there. I'm going to burn like crazy.
I think you're a vampire.
And I was telling my friends, because I was in Omaha earlier, I was like, man, it's cloudy outside. I'm actually like enjoying this. I look forward to the cloudy days. We get like five, maybe over the summer, maybe like three. It's ridiculous, but no, it's been a blast and no blackmail. I just told him I had to see Schmitty, and he said he gave me the okay. So
Musburger bought rounds for everybody. They'd always stay at the Cornhusker, the old Cornhusker.
Okay.
I interned for ABC through college, and that meant I got ice, Twizzlers, and bottled water. They didn't let me handle anything I could screw up too badly, but Musburger and Jackaroot and those early 2000 mm-hmm. ABC Game of the Week crews, and Musburger was
the down Dan Fouts.
No, Dan. It was Musburger and a Root, and then it was Vermeil.
Oh, okay.
That was the A team. And Arut was great because he would do his ESPN postgame from our studios. And Arut and they would trade lines from Caddyshack or Bill Murray lines about barking like a dog during commercial breaks. It was phenomenal. And a couple of times Keith Jackson, but dude, Musburger's the man. I'd love to get, you got to get Musburger back here, not for me or not for, for Jay Bird here, but just get him back to Lincoln. Let's bury the hatchet on that open container thing. He's the poor bastard who had to sit through K-State dismantling Nebraska. The only show he got was Carl going gangster on Grandpa at the 50-yard line back in 03.
Yeah,
you,
no.
You saw it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I was right there. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a blast just being able to listen to him and watch how methodical he is in person and just get to see him speak. I mean, that's a guy I grew up idolizing as well, so I love to see it, and I'll definitely put in the good word. Hopefully we can get him to make a trip out here.
And we'll take him to Canopy Street. We'll bring him here to the graduate. Take him to Canopy Street where open containers are okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we are going to hit the Friday forecast coming up very shortly. Klausburn is en route. Klausburn is trying to get out of Oklahoma. And we will have the Friday forecast coming up. A reminder about the great folks at West Blue Realty. How about the work Kelly Hofschneider and Tom Luby do? They are real estate professionals, and they specialize in residential homes in Lincoln and surrounding communities. They'll make that next move a smooth one when you say Hail Varsity. They can provide you up to $1,000 on the closing of your next home purchase. Call Tom Luby, 402-540-3768. Kelly Hofschneider, 402-202-2312. It pays to work with West Blue, 1120 K Street, Suite 200, westbluerealty.com. The graduate is where we're at. Hail Varsity continues.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
We are back here at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery at the Graduate. The garage doors are open. We got a little convertible time going on. We got a ton of folks down here participating in the longest drive. Jay Moore will draw a winner.
Okay.
You good with that?
I can do that.
All right. Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, is on site. Say hi, Danny.
Hello, everybody. Happy to be here, Schmitty. Love
That's
it.
That's awesome.
Great atmosphere.
Colton Stone's rocking it back at our ESPN Lincoln studios. Without further ado, he is en route. I don't know how many balloons he has swallowed.
No claws.
But he's making his way towards the Nebraska border for Ohio State. It's a big weekend when Vogel is on site and Klausburn will be on site. We say hi to Klausburn. Klaus, how are you? It's Ohio State week. What do you know?
No claws, Schmidt.
What?
Straight to voicemail.
We are going to text him and berate him.
I think he's holding a grudge on me because I haven't been showing up the past couple Fridays.
Oh, you just texted me too, Colton. Colton, how the hell are you?
I'm all right, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Fired up?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Got a big game tonight, so traveling to Cal.
Well, let's start the music and let's get rolling here. We've got Danny in Vegas next to us. Jay Moore knows his football. I lie a lot. And we'll see where we're at here with Klausburn. All right, let's crank the tunes up and get rolling with the Friday forecast here on Hail Varsity Radio. Northwestern at Wisconsin. Them Badgers are minus 24 and a half. They took a plunger to Michigan. And Northwestern decided to light everyone's winnings on fire. As they score a whopping 10 points against Sparty, and Sparty goes for 31. Pat Fitzgerald threatened their life with his size 12 Under Armours this week. This screams setup to me. It also screams another Wisconsin win, but I think Wisconsin does not cover. Give me Wisconsin 34-20 over Northwestern. Jay, what do you say?
God, you're kind of on my mind frame there. I think the Wildcats are going to battle back. You know, Fitzgerald, a little fire in their tail. Yeah, I like obviously Wisconsin to win this one. But I'm going to go like 31-17 here. So, yeah, I think that's a good line there for me.
Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago. What do you got here? What's the feel been out in the desert?
Yeah, so the 24.5 with that hook with that half point, I don't like that at all. And I think the spread is too high for an in-conference game. But if I have to lean one way, it's going to be with the Badgers. And I told you, you came on my podcast earlier this week. My
Why
best
don't we pimp the podcast?
Plug. No, so my best bet was Wisconsin team total over 34.5. Look, you mentioned it. Northwestern gave up 31 to Michigan State at home the week prior, a team that scored 7 at home the week prior to that. So I think Wisconsin is just going to run the ball down the throat of Northwestern. If I have to lean away on the spread, I'm going to lean toward the Badgers. Give me 45-10.
Really?
Yeah. I think they're going to kill them.
Okay. And Wisconsin can, and usually it goes sideways for Wisconsin at Northwestern. Wisconsin's been good at home. Northwestern's sneaky, though. Right when you count them out is when they rise up. Virginia is at Notre Dame. Notre Dame was impressive last week. It got a little shaky when they were down double digits, but they battled back, got that definitely covering and screwing you up touchdown to cover the number. Notre Dame minus 12.5. Virginia, Mendenhall's a great coach. I think he's phenomenal. I like Notre Dame to win this, but I like Virginia to cover. I think 12.5 is too high. I think 10's around the number. And I don't think the Georgia game beats Notre Dame twice. I think they can be proud of how they played. Virginia did exercise a demon. They went to Florida State and won at Doak Campbell for the first time in years, the Herman Moore era. So give me Notre Dame 31 and give me Virginia 21. Jaybird.
Hey, I think I like Notre Dame a lot in this one. I think they win and get the cover, especially barely, though. 35-21, Fighting Irish.
I'm going to bring Colton Stone in here real quick. Colton, I want your take on Notre Dame. You follow the Irish. You know Virginia. Do you got a score for me?
Yeah, I was spot on with them covering last week, not to beat my own chest there. So I think they cover again, but they're on the winning side of it this time. Virginia's good, but this will be a test for them. 28-7, I think Notre Dame just puts them to bed.
Danny Burke from Vegas.
I'll go contrarian once again. This is going to be a stay-away game for me overall, but with the 12.5, I've explained this multiple times. I grew up a Notre Dame fan. They just always disappoint me.
You and Jay, I'm between two Notre Dame guys.
So, Virginia, they haven't really played anyone that tough, but they always seem to play at least Notre Dame pretty tough, and they play up to the competition. So I could see this being like a 28-17 game, Notre Dame getting the win. It wouldn't surprise me if they end up destroying them, but also wouldn't surprise me if Virginia hangs in there. So I'll get Virginia plus 12.5 on the road.
Washington hosting USC. SC's talented. SC's been through a lot. They got a third-team quarterback. They might even play a safety with a number 30 on the jersey taking snaps. Wow. I don't like this at all. I don't like the fact SC lost to BYU, but they've beaten some teams. I think the Bishop gets it handled. I like Washington in this one, 31-17. Jay.
Yeah, I like Washington as well. I mean, obviously, USC had a nice little win against Utah. They're at home a week ago. But give me Washington 42, Notre Dame, or excuse me, Notre Dame, USC 21. Looking at the wrong sheet.
Colton, what do you like here, Huskies or Trojans?
Yeah, I'm leaning Washington too, and I think it'll be pretty big. I just don't see USC like finding a way to win with a third or fourth string quarterback more than 1 week. So give me Washington, probably big, 48-17.
Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago. What do you got here, Washington or SC?
I think I'm going to avoid you guys once again. And I was on the other side last week of USC, but Matt Fink just tossed it up to the receivers every single time and made Utah DBs just look atrocious.
They were brutal.
It was embarrassing. And I don't only say that because I picked Utah, but that was just not
we
good.
We all picked Utah. Utah screwed us all.
But Washington's a good team. They lost that one against California. That was a rain delay game, so you can't judge it too much. I think it could be a high-scoring battle. I really want to say Washington here, but that 10.5 with the hook just makes me feel a little bit inclined to take the Trojans.
I'll say this. Last time Washington was ranked this high, SC went in there and won outright, beat them by 14. Something to think about. Let's get to Nebraska and Ohio State. We will try and taser Klausburn tomorrow for some sort of off-color commentary. Nebraska hosting the Buckeyes, and I think Nebraska's going to hang but falter. I do like Nebraska covering 42-28 Ohio State. Ryan Day moves to 8-0 and eight straight 40-point games. Just too much offense for Ohio State. Jay.
Yeah, I got it as a 14-point win for the Buckeyes as well. I got 38-24 in this one. Again, I think I was talking to Danny before we came on. You know, I think it's about 38-17. Nebraska maybe gets a cheap one late. I just think Ohio State's just too much to handle for the Big Red, unfortunately.
Colton Stone.
Yeah, I said it the other day. I think this is a game that Ohio State can cover, and it won't look bad for Nebraska. But I think they do cover. I think it's high scoring, 59-41.
Wow. A lot of overs there for Colton. Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago, tell us what happens.
Yeah, earlier this week I said to myself, if it got
on the podcast.
No, this is, well, that too. But if it got to 17.5, I would lean with the Huskers. Maybe not a best bet, but a strong lean. Look, I'm going to the game. I can't not bet it. That's an unwritten rule, Schmitty. I told you that. But anyways, I like Nebraska covering 17, 35-21, Ohio State wins.
Danny Burke was telling Musburger that you can't not. All right, we'll wind it down here from the graduate here, 9th and P. It's Hale Varsity. And we're on the road every home football Friday. Awesome turnout here for the longest drive competition. We'll give away Nebraska Ohio State tickets here next.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HaleVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
One final time here at the graduate. We'll be back again next Friday with the longest drive competition and your chance at Nebraska Northwestern seats. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore. The Pride of Chicago is Danny Burke, Colton Stone. Garth Glissman is in the house. That is so good to see G-Unit, former Nebraska quarterback and power forward now with the NBA.
He could have squashed the LeBron D. Wade rumors real quick, couldn't he? Well, you probably would have known, right?
I'm sure D-Wayne and LeBron drove him here. Here's what squashed the rumors is the fact that Jay Moore was busy this morning. You could not take those guys golfing. You know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I had it on good authority. Charles Barkley was thinking about coming here.
Really?
Yeah. Chuck was coming in. Right now, Scott Van Pelt's pimping Nebraska.
He's got Nebraska plus 17, huh? He likes them.
Yeah.
So I saw earlier that 72% of the money's on Ohio State.
It is.
Always good to fade the public.
Uh-huh.
And your little dude's here.
He is. What you got, buddy?
He's teaching you how to play golf.
Thank you.
We don't have a 7-second delay right now since we're live.
Right, yeah. No WTFs.
Yeah, so no, right. No WTFs, homie.
Yeah, it's broken, buddy. You're right.
Yeah. Well, he's still letting you know.
You're right. Broken golf ball. You can't use those. You got to throw them away.
Looks like Chuck Barkley's swing.
You're right.
So, Danny Burke, man, it is awesome to see you.
Love being here.
It's
Thanks
good
for having
stuff.
Me.
We will have plenty of high school coverage tonight. The weekend edition, a flex schedule time. I'm pretty sure Game Day Radio will get things rolling at 8 tomorrow morning. So, you want to bump around town if you can't get down to Game Day. ESPN Lincoln will have it covered for you, and many of our affiliates will be all over that. The other part of this thing, too, is tomorrow in the rail yard, 3:30 to 5:30, myself, Mark Kranak, a cast of thousands, will be getting it rocking and rolling for you ahead of Nebraska, Ohio State with the weekend edition. Don't forget, Searles is on tonight, his Twitch channel at 6:30 with Tommy Armstrong. Danny Burke, as long as we're letting folks know what to listen to. You're in the desert. Give folks a reminder what you're doing during the week, working for Brent Musburger. You're only on the radio. You're on TV.
Yeah, so it's a TV radio podcast.
Makeup or not?
No makeup, actually. But I did do that here at the journalism school when we did the news.
I had a makeup thing, too, when I had to do news.
Yeah, it's an interesting
I look like an oversized toad.
Yeah, you kind of just look like you're dead almost because it's so pale. But it looks good on camera, though. But, yeah, no, so I'm working for VSiN, Vegas Stats and Information Network, producing a few shows, doing hosting here and there, and then, of course, my podcast. I tweet it out all the time, so at DannyBurke5, you can find all the info there.
Do find the info. Jay Moore, you're awesome.
You got it, boys. Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun. All right. Shall we draw a name?
Yeah, let's do it.
Shall we draw a name? Let's draw a name here. Jay, reach into that bad boy and
drum roll.
Pull out a name.
We got Tara Keetle.
Tara Keetle, come on down from Lincoln. Tara Keetle has the Ohio State-Nebraska seats. Did I say that right?
Kettle?
Kettle?
It seems like...
Like George Kettle?
Yeah.
Who hates Nebraska? That'll do it for us from the Graduate High School Ball tonight. 3:30 tomorrow, the weekend edition. Thanks for tuning in to Hail Varsity.